The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily radio show. Lots to get to on today's program. Yesterday, the FBI raided the office, the home, and the hotel room of Michael Cohen. That's President Trump's longtime attorney, one of his lawyers. And according to the New York Times, the federal agents seized business records, financial documents, emails, phones, and computers. All of it. It's yet another watershed moment for the United States of America. Something that we just do not see in the United States. When have you seen this kind of thing happen? This kind of a witch hunt, to use the president's language. Mr. Cohen's attorney, he needs an attorney now. Everyone's under attack from this Mueller investigation, this ever-expanding, ever-widening investigation. The attorney for Mr. Cohen said yesterday, today the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York executed a series of search warrants and seized the privileged communications between my client, Michael Cohen, and his clients. They just helped themselves, these FBI agents, to all of this privileged communication. And as Mr. Ryan brings out, it was the special investigator or counsel, Robert Mueller, who's behind it all. Ryan said this, those government tactics are also wrong because Mr. Cohen has cooperated completely with all government entities, including providing thousands of non-privileged documents to the Congress and sitting for depositions under oath. I mean, they've sat for depositions. They've turned over all kinds of discovery. But not enough for Mueller's gang. Not enough for his investigators. They raided the home, the offices, the hotel room of one of the attorneys of the President of the United States. And President Trump yesterday, well, he wasn't happy. He had a meeting with his top military commanders yesterday morning, and he had this to say before the meeting started. Clip two.
So I just heard that they broke into the office of one of my personal attorneys, good man. And it's a disgraceful situation. It's a total witch hunt. I've been saying it for a long time. I've wanted to keep it down. We've given, I believe, over a million pages worth of documents to the special counsel. They continue to just go forward. And here we are talking about Syria. We're talking about a lot of serious things with the greatest fighting force ever. And I have this witch hunt constantly going on for over 12 months now, and actually much more than that. You could say it was right after I won the nomination it started.
And really, even before that, even months before that. It's gone on now for almost 2 years, and where does it end? How far does this go? When will it stop? And where are the crimes? Where's the collusion? Where are the crimes that supposedly started all of this? It just goes on and on and on. This search, this witch hunt, they're looking for crimes. And as the president rightly pointed out there yesterday, I mean, it's just a disgrace.
And it's a disgrace. It's frankly a real disgrace. It's an attack on our country in a true sense. It's an attack on what we all stand for.
That's an interesting statement given what my father has been saying. Even before President Trump came along, as far back as 2013, he talked about America being under attack That's the President of the United States yesterday saying that this is an attack, not just on his administration. This is an attack on America. He says America is under attack. That's the title of my father's booklet. He commented on it again and great again more recently. And then, of course, just last week, we posted an article at thetrumpet.com, Saving America from the Radical Left, temporarily. That was posted last week, April 4th, I think it was, and it'll be in the new print edition for the Trumpet, the May edition. My father, in this recent article, he says, Satan is marshaling every tool and weapon that he can to wreck this nation, and he's having alarming success. He says Donald Trump is a man with serious problems, but the radical left is relentlessly waging war against the president and leading this country to its destruction. And it was only Mr. Trump's election that prevented even worse troubles from bringing this nation down even more quickly. I mean, we're not here to take sides politically. As my father brings out, I mean, Mr. Trump is a man, he has his own problems. But look at the way the radical left is relentlessly waging war against America and this president. They will not stop until they bring him down. That's the goal. That's the objective here. Read that article at thetrumpet.com today. Saving America from the radical left, but it's just temporary. My father says here, America's government has never been so awash in scandal. Fresh stories of allegations, accusations, and investigations are coming so fast that many Americans are tuning out most of it. I mean, how many people, how many Americans just tuned out what happened yesterday? When have you seen this? When have you seen FBI agents? Well, the one with Paul Manafort just a year ago, or whenever that was, I guess a little over a year, they went in. It was a pre-dawn raid with guns drawn to raid Mr. Manafort's apartment. And then now this. I mean, you talk about some aggressive tactics. Now going after the attorney of the President of the United States. So much for privileged information. So much for the attorney-client privilege. As my father said here, this is not something that we want to ignore. We can't afford to ignore this. We're witnessing a government and a nation on the verge of collapse, he said. The nation is about to collapse. When have you seen a news media operating like this, cheering yesterday? They want to bring him down. Their obsession is Donald Trump. They don't care about Syria. Of course they don't care about Syria. Their target is the President of the United States. And even following what happened yesterday, this raid against the offices, the home, and the hotel room of Michael Cohen. You read all the shots that they take at President Trump, it's as if his reaction is the story. Extraordinarily angry, the New York Times said. A tirade, says the Times. A diatribe, said CNN. When did you ever hear words like that to describe anything, any kind of reaction from President Obama or Hillary Clinton or any of the other darlings on the left? I mean, President Trump was understandably upset. But you listen to his entire statement yesterday morning, and he has some strong words for sure, but he sounded pretty calm throughout. But this is an attack on the United States. The New York Times wrote, the prosecutors obtained the search warrant after receiving a referral from the special counsel in the Russia investigation. That's where all of this started. We're going to talk more about the so-called Russia investigation a little bit later on in the program. Some interesting clips. You'll want to listen to those. This is how it all started. Investigating Russia. And now it's a district court in New York that's raiding the home of the President of the United States attorney. It says, according to Cohen's lawyer, who called the search completely inappropriate and unnecessary, the Times says the search does not appear to be directly related to Mr. Mueller's investigation, but most likely resulted from information that he had uncovered and gave to prosecutors in New York. So here's how the witch hunt is widening. Here's how Mr. Mueller is expanding the parameters of the investigation. What started out as the hunt for evidence about Russian collusion, it's now going well beyond that. And so he hands it over to prosecutors in New York. This is the special counsel colluding with another federal court and federal prosecutors in New York. And how many in the United States are just kind of tuning it out? Either one half of them are cheering, but most people just kind of tune it out. Oh, more scandals, they say. There should be a lot of people. I'm sure there's some ardent Trump supporters who are upset by this. But doesn't a crime need to be committed for there to be an investigation or raids like this? Well, people say, well, they wouldn't have got the search warrant were there not a lot of crimes here. Well, we'll see. We'll see. We were discussing this morning, the attack on the Worldwide Church of God brought on by the state of California back in the late 1970s. These angry dissidents who hated that church, who hated Herbert Armstrong, who brought forward all of these scandalous charges, none of them true. And they got the entire state of California behind the action to try to bring down the Worldwide Church of God. God didn't let it happen. And as my father brings out in this recent article at The Trumpet, God intervened. God intervened over the past 2 years to save America from the radical left, but it's only temporary. You need to read the article. The New York Times says, the searches open a new front for the Justice Department and its scrutiny of Mr. Trump and his associates. There's a new front in the war now. Now, as I say, the boundaries for this investigation, they have been expanded. His longtime lawyer is being investigated in Manhattan. His son-in-law, Jared Kushner, is facing scrutiny by prosecutors in Brooklyn. His former campaign chairman is under indictment. His former national security advisor has pleaded guilty to lying. Yeah, the Times is cheering on all of these developments. And where is there? Where is there, you might ask? Where is there Russian collusion? Everything's got to be by the book. This is supposedly what Barack Obama himself said in that January 5th meeting last year. It's all got to be by the book. Remember the contrived email that Susan Rice sent to herself on the day of the inauguration? It's all got to be by the book. I mean, we've got to look into this Russian collusion story. Well, the Times lists them all off, all of these individuals, for these smaller crimes that have been supposedly discovered in this witch hunt. They're using every possible means that they can to bring down a sitting president of the United States. That's the end game here. That's their goal. That's their objective. And now they're getting these other courts involved, other prosecutors, as if Mr. Mueller doesn't have enough as it is. I think he's got 16 or 17 prosecutors. Nearly all of them. Avid supporters of Barack Obama. The New York Times says the search is an aggressive move for the Justice Department, which normally relies on grand jury subpoenas to obtain records from people who are represented by lawyers and are cooperating with authorities. The searches of Mr. Cohen's documents hark back to the pre-dawn FBI raid of Mr. Manafort's home. This is par for the course. This is the way the investigation is going when it comes to all things Trump. Notice the word aggressive. Did you see that kind of aggressive nature in the investigations of Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama? You saw nothing. Here he weaponized every arm of the government during the 8 years he was in office. And not one time did he come under investigation from a special prosecutor or a special investigator. Not once. And for all that happened, even while Hillary Clinton was the Secretary of State. Not once. Not once was one of her lawyers ever raided like this. Why not? What a difference. What a difference between the Justice Department under Obama and the Justice Department today, still with all of the Obama holdovers. And the way that it goes after Trump aggressively. The Times says here, though, Mr. Mueller's team did not initiate the search. If prosecutors in Manhattan uncover information related to Mr. Mueller's investigation, they can share that information with this team. Or with his team, you see. He didn't initiate the search. But see, he's sharing information. And then now the people in New York, they can share it back if they discover anything in this attorney-client privilege. Oh, if it's there. Does this disturb anyone in the United States? Just the average, everyday American citizen. Is this disturbing to anyone? Switching over to Bloomberg. It says here, Mueller brought information involving Cohen to Rosenstein, who decided that the inquiry should be handled by federal prosecutors in New York, according to a person familiar with the situation. See, this is the tactic they now use, because Manafort's case, which is going on right now, his attorneys are calling into question. Look, if this whole investigation was about Russian collusion, then how are you getting me on this charge? This is outside the scope of your investigation to begin with. And so now, to get around that, because this has nothing to do with Russian collusion, Mueller's team is instead handing it over to prosecutors in Manhattan. And he's letting them do the dirty work. And if they find anything nefarious, then they can give it back to Mueller. It is a witch hunt. This is unprecedented. And yet, most people, like my father said, they just say, well, it's so common, I guess. I guess it's just scandal after scandal after scandal. We should get used to it. It says at Bloomberg, under Justice Department regulations, Mueller must consult with Rosenstein about how to handle evidence and matters that may fall outside his jurisdiction. Well, there's another story there from the way that Rosenstein has also, after the fact, expanded the parameters of the investigation. I mean, this is stunning. Shocking what's happening. It says further on, the raid suggests Mueller may have documents that call into question the credibility of Trump and Cohen, even if the materials have nothing to do with Russian meddling. That's according to another man by the name of Cohen, no relation to Michael Cohen. But he's quoted in the piece as saying someone had to have fed Mueller information to make him believe that either Trump and or Cohen were not being honest in the statements they've made publicly. It could only have to do with lying. So they're just anything to trip him up. Catch him in a lie and you've got him. The Associated Press also notes just how aggressive this investigation is. Search warrants are fairly standard, though aggressive, law enforcement tool a fairly standard, though aggressive, law enforcement tool and are often sought in cases where authorities are concerned someone may hide or withhold evidence. Well, you would think then that it would have been used with Hillary Clinton after she scrubbed her servers. After she and her lawyers scrubbed her private servers and wiped out 33,000 emails. According to the AP, these kinds of aggressive search warrants, these kinds of aggressive tactics are reserved for someone that's hiding something. It says to obtain one, search warrants that is, agents must convince a judge they have probable cause of criminal activity and they believe they'll find evidence of wrongdoing in a search. A warrant requires high-level approval within the Justice Department, and agency guidelines impose additional hurdles when the search target is an attorney. It's not easy. It's not easy to get this. But you see, when you have the Obama holdovers in the Justice Department, in the FBI, in this district court level, look it up. See how many were appointed by Obama. It says here, under Justice Department regulations, Mueller must consult with Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein when his investigators uncover new evidence that may fall outside his original mandate. Rosenstein then will determine whether to allow Mueller to proceed or to assign the matter to another U.S. attorney or another part of the Justice Department. I mean, these are the guys calling the shots. These are the guys that are putting the President of the United States on trial in the media. Rod Rosenstein, Bob Mueller. And you have to ask yourself, where was this level of aggression when Hillary Clinton was scrubbing her private servers? That was just 2 years ago. Let me just play for you what Alan Dershowitz, he's a left-wing attorney, but an honest one, on, I think this was Hannity's program last night. He's talking about, well, what if the shoe were on the other foot? This is clip one.
Well, I think actually this does show us something significant about the investigation. I do think a decision has been made from the very top that the Mueller investigation is going to stick to Russia collusion, the campaign, obstruction of justice, and anything else relating to Trump's business dealings, any alleged relationships of payments to women, will be given over to the Southern District of New York. Now they'll work together. And this may be an attempt to squeeze Cohen. He's the lawyer. He's the guy who knows all the facts about Donald Trump, and to get him to turn against his client. Look, this is a very dangerous day today for lawyer-client relations. I deal with clients all the time. I tell them on my word of honor that what you tell me is sacrosanct. And now they say, just based on probable cause, even though this was cooperation with Cohen, they can burst into the office, grab all the computers, and then give it to another FBI agent and say, you're the firewall. We want you now to read all these confidential communications. Tell us which ones we can get and which ones we can't get. You know, if this were the shoe on the other foot, if this were Hillary Clinton being investigated and they went into her lawyer's office, the ACLU would be on every television station in America jumping up and down. The deafening silence of the ACLU and civil libertarians about the intrusion into the lawyer-client confidentiality is really appalling.
It is. It's appalling. In the case of Hillary Clinton, she used attorney-client privilege to protect her, to shield her from any kind of meaningful investigation. Business Insider reports that Mueller's team is investigating evidently a $150,000 donation coming from a Russian oligarch back in whenever, 2015 or 16. A donation to the Trump Foundation coming from a Russian. And does anyone even care to look into how many donations the Clinton Foundation took in from Russia? Or how the Clintons are responsible for turning over the uranium supply of the United States to Russia? Well, we'll see what comes from this investigation now. It's nonstop. It's going to continue right on. President Trump was right yesterday again to point out how that if this was the other side, just like Mr. Dershowitz said there, if this was the other side, you can be sure that there would be crickets right now. Here's clip five.
We've had that hanging over us now from the very, very beginning. And yet the other side, they don't even bother looking. And the other side is where there are crimes. And those crimes are obvious. Lies under oath all over the place. Emails that are knocked out, that are acid washed and deleted. Nobody's ever seen. 33,000 emails are deleted after getting a subpoena for Congress. And nobody bothers looking at that. And many, many other things. So I just think it's a disgrace that a thing like this can happen.
That's the president reacting with extraordinary anger, the New York Times says. That's the diatribe. That's the diatribe there, pointing out that on the other side, 33,000 emails were scrubbed, deleted, bleached. You remember what Hillary said when she was pressed on this? Did you scrub your servers? And she said, well, what, do you mean with like a cloth or something? Ha ha. And then on she moves. And that's it. That's the end of it. End of story. Andrew McCarthy, he said in, this is at the end of last year, November 2017, he's writing about, again, the election, the lead up to it. In July 2016, it says the Obama administration announced its decision not to prosecute Hillary Clinton for felony mishandling of classified information and destruction of government files. So she destroyed government files. She had interaction with the President of the United States himself on these private servers. Classified information going out all over the world. She claimed ignorance. She's the Secretary of the State. And before that, 8 years, a senator of New York. Listen to what McCarthy says, though, about their decision, the Justice Department, the FBI, their decision not to prosecute Hillary Clinton. McCarthy says, in the aftermath, I observed that there is a very aggressive way that the Justice Department and the FBI go about their business when they're trying to make a case. One profoundly different from the way they went about the Clinton emails investigation. There, they tried not to make the case. You see the difference? This is the truth. It says that observation bears repeating today as we watch special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation of any possible Trump campaign collusion in Russia's alleged interference in the 2016 presidential campaign. Mueller is a former FBI director and top Justice Department prosecutor. To say he's going about the collusion caper aggressively would be an understatement. The earth is being scorched by the stunningly large team he has assembled, which includes 16 other prosecutors, among them Democratic Party donors and activists. You've heard about the stroke text to his lover, Lisa Page. All through this investigation, all through before even the investigation of Hillary. You get some inside commentary, some insider commentary about what they were thinking at the FBI, why they weren't aggressively going after Hillary Clinton, and why they are aggressively going after Trump. They had to dig up all this dirt for insurance, as Stroke said. I can't even imagine he'll win, but in case he wins, McCarthy says, in the aftermath, we extensively examined the Clinton investigation's hypersensitivity to the attorney-client privilege You see, whenever any kind of investigator very respectfully and kindly comes and says, we've got to look into this, Hillary. I mean, this is up. Can't go there. Attorney-client privilege. Attorney-client privilege. Yesterday, the FBI raided the house, the office, and the hotel room of President Trump's attorney, and they took computers and phones and emails and business dealings, documents. So much for the attorney-client privilege. McCarthy says here, compare that with the Justice Department's treatment of the lawyers representing Mrs. Clinton and her accomplices. Actually, I shouldn't really put it that way because Mrs. Clinton's lawyers were her accomplices. I mean, they were the ones helping her to scrub the files. He says here, the Justice Department refused to invoke the crime fraud exception to explore what advice Clinton lawyers gave her information technology contractor before he supposedly took it on himself to delete and destroy her emails. He deleted and destroyed the emails, and the Justice Department said, well, I mean, we can't really invoke the crime fraud exception here with respect to the advice she got from her lawyers because, well, there's attorney-client privilege. Oh, we can't go there. I mean, that's sacrosanct. It says, furthermore, the Justice Department and the FBI tolerated unlawful arrangements whereby subjects of the investigation were permitted to act as private lawyers in the probe regarding matters in which they had been involved as government officials. Perhaps more astonishingly, subjects of the investigation, such as Cheryl Mills and Heather Samuelson, who participated directly in the process by which Clinton decided which emails to surrender to the State Department and which to withhold as private, were permitted to act as attorneys for the principal subject of the investigation, Clinton herself. Cheryl Mills, if you remember, she sat in on the interview that the FBI had with Clinton in the summer of 2016. She was helping her delete emails or to turn over only certain ones to the government, to the investigators. And then she gets to sit in on the interview with Hillary Clinton because, well, she also used to be an attorney before she was appointed to the government position that she ended up in. She was one that should have been investigated herself. And yet she's there sitting in on the interview, just to make sure that everyone gives the same story. Everyone has the same response. It's astounding what's happening here. The carryover. How many months are we beyond Barack Obama's presidency? It's exactly as my father wrote about in the recent Trumpet. We're getting a hard look at just what the radical left is willing to do in order to seize power and stay in power. They have no respect for the rule of law. They believe they're above the law. It's no exaggeration to say that such contempt for the nation's founding principles is a threat to the republic. This is not an exaggeration. They think they're above the law. They see corruption in any and every direction when it comes to the Trump administration, but they cannot see any corruption on their side. Or if they acknowledge it, well, it's just a means to an end. I mean, after all, we've got to go after an evil president. Well, I needed the private servers. I wanted some privacy. I didn't want to be transparent. You can't be transparent when you've also got these other dealings on the side for the Clinton Foundation and such. Just rife with corruption through and through. Where would we be today had Hillary Clinton won the election in November of 2016? Well, my father in that article, he talks about, you know, some of you, I think, have listened before about what we've said about Jeroboam in this end time and the Jeroboam type. And in that article that was just posted last week, my father refers to the example of Jeroboam II in ancient Israel. He too came in the spirit of his father Jeroboam. He too rebelled against the house and the throne of David. But it's interesting that there in the 700s BC, Jeroboam II came along, and I mean, there was a temporary, again, there was a temporary revival in the house of Israel. The house of Israel, just shortly before Israel went off into captivity. My father writes in the former prophet's book, the great sin of our ancestors was their rebellion against the house of David. He says it continues to be our major sin even to this day. The same rebellious spirit. He points out how Jeroboam II came in the spirit of the first Jeroboam. Well, and if you look at some of that history, you can read about it in 2 Kings 14, the history of Jeroboam II. It says here, I'm just trying to pick up the verse. Well, I can't find where it is. Maybe in the next segment I can just touch on that. But let me just read to you what it said in the Plain Truth. This is from 1978, talking about that temporary revival that took place in ancient Israel under the rule of Jeroboam II. It says, during the long and peaceful reign of Jeroboam II, the house of Israel had been lulled into a false sense of security. National borders had been extended to their maximum. Well, it says further on, into this scene of national self-satisfaction stepped the prophet Amos. His indicting message was something less than popular, and he was met with immediate opposition from the religious and political elements of his nation. He was accused of conspiracy and disloyalty and so on. That touches on the prophecy in Amos 7, which we've gone through before. But let me just finish this segment with what my father wrote in that article we posted last week, talking about again or drawing a parallel between that resurgence in ancient Israel and just this temporary resurgence in the United States. As we've pointed out, I mean, President Trump has done some good things over the past year for the economy in reducing taxes and such. But he is coming under attack, a relentless attack from the radical left. My father says here, for 8 years under President Obama, the forces of the radical left were on the march, virtually unchecked. Even Republican leaders caved in. And that was after they had taken control of Congress and had a lot of power to stop the president. It says, Donald Trump has proved himself willing to take a stand where others have not. It's quite something to behold, him resisting these anti-American forces. He's inspired a few other leaders to challenge the radical left and to help expose it for what it is. He says, finally, when you compare what this president is doing to what his predecessor did, there's been a clear change in direction, one that will slow the speed at which America is being pulled apart. That's what's happened. I mean, it's just slowed down. Slowed the speed at which America is being pulled apart. Here again, we turn to prophecy. God gives us so much insight into what is happening and why it's happening. It's clear to see if we'll just open our eyes and let God shed light on these events. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program with some feedback or comments, you can send those comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
Okay.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Flurry's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily Radio Show airs every morning at 7 a.m. Central Time on KPCG 101.3 FM in Edmond, Oklahoma.
Democrats, just about all, either Democrats or a couple of Republicans that worked for President Obama. They're not looking at the other side. They're not looking at the Hillary Clinton horrible things that she did and all of the crimes that were committed. They're not looking at all of the things that happened that everybody is very angry about, I can tell you, from the Republican side, and I think even the independent side. They only keep looking at us. So they find no collusion, and then they go from there and they say, well, let's keep going. And they raid an office of a personal attorney early in the morning. And I think it's a disgrace. So we'll be talking about it
more. That's President Trump yesterday before his meeting with his top military commanders about what to do with Syria, commenting on this raid on Michael Cohen's home, his office, his hotel suite, all of it, computers, emails, phones, documents. And it all started with the so-called Russian collusion story, the Russian collusion narrative. As my father wrote in that article I've been quoting from last week, the entire Trump-Russia investigation is based on a hoax. Robert Mueller's team has been searching for evidence of collusion for nearly a year and has found nothing. But what has been revealed is a tremendous amount of lawbreaking by bureaucrats in intelligence and law enforcement. It says the previous president filled America's law enforcement agencies with treasonous agents. It's true. He weaponized the DOJ and the FBI. He used the IRS to harass political opponents. He used the NSA to collect metadata on millions and millions of Americans. He used the NSC to cover up the truth about Benghazi, at least for long enough so that he could get reelected. But Russia collusion during the campaign, in the lead up to the election, Russia was meddling in the U.S. election, and there is some truth in that charge. But who was the president of the United States during that election cycle? Whose administration was leading the United States in 2016, in 2017? I want to play for you a report. This is from CNN just a couple of weeks ago, March 27th. And this is about an official in the Obama government. Brett Bruen is his name. And according to this CNN report, I mean, they're trying to keep the Russian collusion story in the news, but it's very revealing what this story says about Russian meddling in the U.S. election and how the Obama administration did nothing about it. This is clip 7.
Russia still denies it, but the Twitter war, the fake news, the social media attacks, Putin's new weapon of war, as some call it, was launched against Ukraine in 2014 during its election. And just like a Cold War battle, a counteroffensive set up by the U.S. State Department pushed back. The Russians backed off, but they didn't go away. They just got better. And one former U.S. official said he tried to sound the alarm that the Russians would try the same tactics in the U.S.
During the 2016 elections, they came at us with exactly the same kinds of techniques that they were using back in Ukraine.
According to Brett Bruen, then director of global engagement on the U.S. National Security Council, it was a sign of what was to come, the Russians' new weapon of war. And he says in 2014, 2 years before the U.S. election, he urged the State Department to keep the task force up and running and build on it.
And I was sitting at the White House telling the State Department, for the love of God, keep this up. We have a threat, a new threat, that we have recognized, that we have been successful in many respects in pushing back against. This is not the moment for us to stand down.
Bruen pitched a command center that would track and counter Russian misinformation. But he says the State Department dismissed the idea. Precisely why isn't clear.
That's Obama's State Department. They dismissed the idea coming from their own director of global engagement at the NSC, the National Security Council. He was sitting at the White House. He was at the White House with President Obama, presumably, pleading for the government not to stand down. Look, Russia's meddled in Ukraine. Russia's meddling in the United States. There was a story in, again, this is in March, just a few weeks ago, BizPak Review. Listen to this. It says it was in the heat of the 2016 presidential campaign that Susan Rice, here again, there's the NSC, Susan Rice proved to be a pivotal figure, preventing the United States from countering Russian attempts at election meddling. That's Susan Rice preventing the United States from doing anything about it. Says the former national security advisor who chaired a number of high-ranking intelligence principals told an official to stand down on developing cyber espionage countermeasures because they had not been approved by President Obama. You guys stand down. This is all according to a new book by Michael Isikoff and David Korn. It's about why the Obama administration didn't aggressively resist Russian attempts to meddle in the U.S. election. Everyone thought Hillary was going to win. It was a non-story. It was a non-issue. Obama didn't care. It says, at one pivotal point during the presidential campaign, Susan Rice directly told the White House Director of Cybersecurity, Michael Daniel, to cease and desist from developing further technological options to thwart apparent Russian attempts to create havoc in the digital elections infrastructure. They told him to stand down. Susan Rice told the White House Director of Cybersecurity to stand down. That's a direct quote from this new book. Knock it off, she said. This hasn't been approved by Obama. Don't get ahead of us, she warned. Listen further to this CNN report. Here's clip 8.
CNN spoke to a half a dozen former State Department and National Security Council officials, some of whom tell us the State Department was focused on diplomacy with Russia. Others blame bureaucracy for getting in the way. Still others say no one, including Brett Bruen, accurately assessed the damage the potential damage to a U.S. election. Victoria Nuland, then head of the State Department's Bureau of Europe and Eurasian Affairs, told CNN by phone there was just no money for what Bruin was proposing. We were operating on a shoestring budget as it was, she said.
Bruin was sounding the alarm, saying that Russia's meddling, but according to Victoria Nuland, well, they were operating on a shoestring budget, just didn't have the money to confront the Russians. The report, this is CNN from 2 weeks ago. Here's clip 9.
By the time of the Republican and Democratic conventions in July 2016, more than 80 people at the Kremlin-backed Internet Research Agency were already assigned to meddling in American life. Yet in the U.S., multiple sources who dealt with national security at the time tell CNN they had no idea the extent of the Russians' activities. In other words, they missed it. On October 7th, a joint statement from Department of Homeland Security and the Office of the Director of National Intelligence warned of Russians attempting to interfere with the U.S. election process, but mentioned nothing of fake news, social media, or infiltrating American social groups. Bruin says they all should have known it, because he and others warned them.
You knew enough that you would have been able to foresee the whole fake news, fake grassroots support, fake Twitters coming in the election.
Not only did I feel like I knew enough at that moment, I was sitting in the Situation Room saying, this is something that is going to march across Western Europe. It's something that's going to march over to our shores. And we need to be ready.
He was right there in the Situation Room of the White House with all the Obama people saying we need to be ready for an attack. And for whatever reason, as this report goes on to say, Obama didn't act. Here's clip 10.
Whatever the reason, the warning of the looming Russian threat was not shared across the Obama administration.
Did you hear that? That's CNN. The warning of the looming Russian threat was not shared across the Obama administration. They didn't care. They didn't care. Hillary's going to win anyway. It's a non-story. Why even go there? This piece at BizPak says President Obama has been questioned by even his own former security officials for not acting more aggressively to counteract Russian active measures during the 2016 campaign. See, in that case, there was no need to be aggressive. That's reserved for President Trump and his lawyers. That's reserved for Paul Manafort. That's reserved for Mike Flynn. But no need for aggressive counteractions, countermeasures from White House cybersecurity. No need for it. We've got everything covered. Where's the real story of collusion here? It's right in front of our faces, if we'll just open our eyes. Well, it brings us back to what happened yesterday. Here's President Trump assembling all of his top military brass and trying to figure out what to do with the mess in Syria. And he's got to deal with this. Here again is what he said yesterday, clip 12.
Here we are talking about Syria. We're talking about a lot of serious things with the greatest fighting force ever. And I have this witch hunt constantly going on for over 12 months now.
He's got to deal with the witch hunt brought on by Obama people, even as he's trying to fix the problems in Syria, which the Obama people told us they fixed. We'll conclude with a montage put together by Washington Free Beacon. This is the situation as it is right now in Syria, and then a flashback to all of the statements from Obama's people about how everything was fixed in Syria.
Dozens of people reportedly killed, including at least 10 children, hundreds of others injured, and these numbers are very preliminary. What caused this? Right now, it's seen as a gas or chemical attack.
This think ultimately that President Obama is the big winner here?
He is a big, big winner in my estimation.
It turns out we're getting chemical weapons out of Syria without having initiated a strike. So what else are you talking about?
We've got the chemical weapons. We're getting the chemical weapons out of Syria.
Well, Chris, all you have to do is look at the fact that today, the final 8% of chemical weapons were taken out of Syria.
We should commend the administration for the result that they got. The removal of chemical weapons out of Syria is a substantial accomplishment.
We certainly worked with them in Syria to bring all the chemical weapons out of Syria.
We struck a deal where we got 100% of the chemical weapons out.
100% of the declared chemical weapons out of Syria.
We kept chemical weapons or got chemical weapons out of the area.
We got, as you know, last year, all the chemical weapons out of Syria. No small feat.
Syria eliminating its chemical weapons and ultimately having them destroyed by the international community.
Syria would still have a declared chemical weapons stockpile. Right now, they don't. Right now, Bashar al-Assad does not have a declared chemical weapons stockpile. We removed that declared chemical weapons stockpile, and we destroyed that declared chemical weapons stockpile, which means that Bashar al-Assad can't use those chemical weapons against his own people.
And the purpose of the strike was to get the chemical weapons out of Syria. Weapons of mass destruction are taken out of the zone of conflict. And thank God we did that. We are making real progress in Iraq and Syria, and I mean real progress. If Russia can help us, and it is right now, Russia has helped bring about the Iran nuclear agreement. Russia helped get the chemical weapons out of Syria.
The destruction of the Syrian chemical weapons stockpile.
I would have, I think, made a bigger mistake if I had said, chemical weapons, that doesn't really change my calculus.